Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell as we broadcast live from Murph's Cobb Galleria as we get ready for Game 5 tonight. Braves and Cards. Mike Bell, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. You know, you like to say, this is it.
This is it. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, Kenny Loggins sang it, and it is true, baby, because it's Game 5.
This is it. So it's do or die, right? Win or go home. And should it have come to this? Probably not. We know the chances we've had in this series. We're going to talk about plenty of baseball today and plenty about the Braves as we lead up to Game 5. I think the Cardinals, though, Mike, probably feel the same way, right?
Yeah, I think Flaherty, and I read an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, they're feeling that, you know, they kind of let Game 2 get away. They thought that, you know, they probably could have played better. Remember, they had the error, the Dansby ground out with fielder's choice. They thought that certainly they maybe didn't have their best effort because that's a team we said is not going to beat themselves. And certainly, Carl, the Braves had all those guys left on base in Game 4. We talked all about it yesterday. It's been written about. The only tweak to the lineup we can tell you is we are going to see Adam Duvall starting in left field. And Matt Joyce has been in there a little bit. But no other changes to the lineup. Freddie's going to be in there at third. Donaldson's going to be batting cleanup. And Nick Markakis is batting fifth. They're the guys, unfortunately, that aren't bringing home the bacon. They batted 145 through this series.
Do you think the Duvall move is the tweak? I mean, we talked a little bit about this. Actually, we talked a whole lot about it yesterday. Whether you adjust the lineup, you move, drop Freddie down, you do some things at the top. Maybe you put Acuna at cleanup. But the Duvall move, to me, is the tweak because he's been hot. You're getting a hot bat in the lineup.
Right. Five RBIs and not even starting in this series, and that's what Adam Duvall has done. So they're going to throw him out there. You and I had said, would you maybe move Dansby up in the lineup? Maybe move Freddie or, you know, Markakis down? Maybe even Donaldson, but Snicker said, you know, Dansby's been so hot, he doesn't want to mess with it. He feels it's a good thing. He doesn't want to mess with the mojo. So Dansby will continue to bat eighth in the lineup.
All right, guys, we will talk plenty about it. I like to say Dukesism when it matters most. And today with the Game 5, when the lights are the brightest, what happens? And, you know, the problem I think a lot of Braves are struggling with, or Braves fans, Mike, is history's not on our side. When you go back and you look, you know, our playoff run since 2002, we've talked a lot about it. We haven't had a whole lot of success moving out of this round, the right. NLDS round. Meanwhile, the Cardinals have. I mean, in 04, they have been really good in elimination games. They moved on in the NLCS in 04, in the NLDS in 11, went to the World Series in an elimination game, won a World Series, actually. So they've been clutch. Now, that team that we're talking about over those years is not this team. The only guy that's really been a part of it is Yadier Molina. He's been around. But for the Braves, I think a lot of people are fearing that, you know, the history is not on our side. I'm not worried about that today. I'm as positive as can be. I think our team responds. Guys, I actually think Freddie has a good day. all the things we've been worried about, I'm not as concerned as some people that we've talked to today.
Right. And again, Atlantaitis, you know, Georgia football has nothing to do with the Atlanta Braves, has nothing to do with the Falcons. I know sometimes we always feel like we live in a sports world that was built on an Indian burial ground, you know, but I just think, you know, it's just bad, like individual decisions, you know. You know, if we make some better decisions down the stretch in the Super Bowl, we have a Super Bowl championship. And the entire perception of the city changes for all the teams. You know, if the Braves have won more than one World Series in the Bobby Cox era, the perception changes. We bookended that. You know, I know we talked about the Larritz home run. That maybe changes the whole way this thing is thought about. But guess what? New team. Half these guys weren't even born when the Braves were choking away those World Series and playoff games. So let's just get on with it and hope that Snicker make good decisions. But more importantly, and we've said this a few times, I can take issue, and I think we could all agree, there were some crazy things that went down in game one. It's not Snicker's fault when the guys leave the bases loaded. Not Snicker's fault when Acuna gets on third or on second to start an inning and they can't punch him through. You can't put that on a skipper.
Folty gave up 3 hits over 7 scoreless innings the last time we saw him. He gets the ball today, and Mike, you're just creeping your fingers crossed that he's going to, you know, approach this game the
and
same
Folty
way.
And Folty we trust, right?
Yeah, and go at it the same way. The issue, I think, or at least, you know, the challenge is Flaherty, their starter, who's been their best starter all year, gave up 3 runs over 7 innings of work. He was good. Folty was great in his outing. And so now you've got these two guys going at it today, and you're going, all right, Folty, just give me what you gave me the other day, and we're going to be in this. I feel like the bats are going to come alive. We want to hear from you, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as we broadcast live from Murph's today. Cobb Galleria, we've been out here quite a bit over the last few weeks leading up to the playoffs, and then once we got in,
right.
I'm hoping we're here a lot more as we get into the NLCS.
Yeah, initially we were hoping we would not be back here today. We thought we'd actually wrap it up in St. Louis, but hopefully we'll be back for the NLCS. And the interesting thing is, everybody now, except for the Yankees and Twins, is going to a Game 5. You know, the Dodgers and Nats, you'll see that tonight. Last night, the Astros. We talked about it. You know, sometimes when managers overthink it, Justin Verlander said, I can go on short rest. He was not as effective. They had another pitcher that was fresher, but they thought Verlander would be the guy to get it done. And now Houston finds themselves having to go back home for a Game 5.
Yeah, I think if the Astros lose this series, and I want you to think about this for a minute, Braves fans, there is a chance, okay, that the Astros lose, and arguably, if you talk to people around baseball, they are the best team in baseball.
Pound for pound.
Yes. They lose. You could arguably have the Nationals beat the Dodgers. We're playing the Nationals, and all of a sudden, the road to the World Series and even a World Series championship, I think, gets a little bit easier. Because if the two teams we've been concerned about are, all right, NL Dodgers, obviously right. Astros, if we get there, there's a chance both of those teams might not even be around, Mike.
Right. And, you know, the Yankees, I mean, look, they bombed the Blitzkrieg Minnesota. They've had their number. They had the number the way they had the Texas Rangers number back in the day. But I'm still thinking that's a team because of the pitching and the bullpen that anyone in a matchup there can beat those guys. But first things first, everyone's got to do their job.
Do your job.
This is why Braves fans, as we said earlier, man, just clean out your headgear, no negativity. You know, let's not make this self-fulfilling if you feel bad things are going to happen. Let's be positive, man. Positivity, you know? And it's – I was funny because we were talking about the Falcons, and I was like, you know, I'm ready to move on from Quinn. And I was – people now, people blaming me, like, it's all your fault now, all this negative energy. What?
No.
I'm just – we're sounding boards for what's going on in this city. There's a lot of unhappy people with the Falcons. You know what? The good news for the Falcons is the Braves take some of the heat off the Falcons. They can get it done and roll into the NLCS because they are the story.
I agree, Mike. And I'll tell you this. If we get into the NLCS in a couple of weeks, I mean, that's the issue with MLS. We got to wait. But – Atlanta United also being in the playoffs. We've got right. some other things we can focus on. The Dogs are doing great. Yeah, but that doesn't, you know, take away from where we expect the Falcons to be. Speaking of the Falcons, I tweeted it out earlier, coming up around 5 o'clock for our Falcon Report. I'm going to tell you how Dan Quinn's going to save his job. And I know many of you are like, well, that's easy. Getting to the playoffs, he's got to win. It's not that easy. I mean, yeah, it'd be great for him to just turn it around and win 11 straight and we're in the playoffs.
Right.
But there is a way that he could actually show Arthur Blank that he's doing his job, because right now he's not. We'll get into that coming up at 5
o'clock. I can't wait to hear this.
It's an unbelievable revelation.
You know, Mike, you might want to think about becoming a new coach of the Falcons. Seems like you got some answers
it's,
here.
It's an unbelievable revelation. And here's the deal. We might even see it Sunday.
By the way, Slayton here at the bar, can you stop bringing food over here? This is torture. When radio host Carl,
we're just
8 minutes into the show, and he brought a Whitman sampler of appetizers.
Well, I want some of that, whatever that is.
We got the fried mushrooms, we got the egg rolls, we got the cheese curds, we got the nuggets. You understand we've got to talk for at least 5 more minutes, sir. This is just cruel and unusual punishment. What's up, little man?
We've got Braves tickets for you guys, 2 pairs. So here's the deal. We're going to give a pair away in about 45 minutes.
All right.
Okay. And then we're going to give another pair away in the 3 o'clock hour. Now you're going, wait a minute, Dukes and Bell, if I get these tickets, how am I going to the game?
Digital, baby.
Correct.
Digital. We will text them to you.
All right. So everybody is eligible to play and win. All you need to do is be listening. Now, remember, this is brought to you by our friends at Papa John's Pizza, guys, proud sponsor of the Atlanta Braves. But we're giving you a chance to go to Game 5 today. Once this hour and one time next hour, somewhere in the 3 o'clock hour. So make sure you're listening, all right? Hey, man, we got a lot to get to. We're going to talk plenty of college football today. As we mentioned, the Falcons back on the field. Now, they're not in town. We've been saying this road trip. You know, if things do turn around, Mike, and we hope they do, are we going to look back to this road trip as the turning point that they've got extra time on the road and the camaraderie and all the stuff that we've heard?
Well, that's why we were joking around yesterday about Bear Bryant and the Junction Boys. And for those who don't know the story for millennials, that was back in the 50s when Bear Bryant was the coach at Texas A&M. And he took the guys out there and basically he kind of separated the wheat from the chaff. And there were guys that were in it to win it and the guys that weren't. And there was a bad ESPN movie with Tom Berenger that
was,
made about
yeah.
that. Where a guy's being pulled off on a stretcher under heat stroke. He's like, coach, I may die.
No
but I know the Aggies are going to win. You know, it was like
no water breaks.
Yeah, it was like this ridiculous melodramatic nonsense. But at the end of the day, I'm not saying that Dan Quinn's going to be in a golf cart, you know, like John Goodman in Revenge of the Nerds with a bunch of guys running behind him. But hopefully whatever they do, they can bond. You know, people talk about the phrase now is the noise. Get away from the noise. The noise. Well, you guys created the noise because you haven't lived up to your expectations.
No.
You're the worst team. You're the next to worst team in the NFL for getting guys off the field on third down.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something the defense has got to fix, and Dan Quinn is the guy running the defense. As we said, it's not hard to find a fall guy on this one.
Hey, man, Dale Murphy's set to join us coming up next hour around 3:20, so make sure you tune in for Murph as we talk to the legendary Brave. We're at Murph's place, but he'll give us his thoughts on this series. Jimmy just hit us up on Twitter, Mike, and said, I think today, fellas, the Braves' approach needs to be make this pitcher throw a lot of pitches. You know, make him pitch to you. Don't be so aggressive early.
Freddie Freeman is swinging a lot of first pitches, too. You know, and I think, you know, everybody's waiting to see Freddie break out. We talked about it, and I'll give you some historical perspective on this later because some of the biggest names, guys in Cooperstown that had some just dreadful postseason moments, and we're hoping that Freddie will turn that one around, but there is a precedent. A lot of guys that have brought it all season, sometimes it goes south in October.
Yeah. Who was it, Mike, we almost chased? And was it game one? Remember, it was the game.
Mikolas.
Yeah, we were talking about how warm it was.
Barely made it to the second inning. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, Dallas Keuchel, do you feel that the bullpen, there would have been a little more juice if Dallas Keuchel had gone deeper and you wouldn't have been in that situation where you run out of pitchers and Turan's got to go? Everybody's burning through pitchers like, you know, they're going through it like underwear and socks. So we'll see if Snitker, hopefully, fingers crossed, Carl, doesn't have to worry about that. And Fulte can give you a strong outing, give you 6 2/3, maybe 7. That would be something.
I agree. Jimmy also says, fellas, let's stop trying to hit home runs at every at bat. Just get on pace. Hey,
right.
With the guys who are struggling right now, I just need the ball.
I mean,
just connect.
It's a nerdy phrase, but it's accurate, man. Productive outs. When you got Acuna on base in scoring position, somebody's got to hit the ball in the air. You got to get the ball out of the infield. We've a bit of a victim of circumstance. And look, Freddie hitting the double plays, et cetera, but we just have left too many men on base. If there's a story for this series so far, that's it.
No doubt about it, guys. Follow us on social media across all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's 929 The Game. That's our radio station. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. Hey, we need to give somebody a lucky chance to win $1,000. We'll continue to do that with our national signing bonus contest.
Yeah, guys, you're going to text this word. The word this hour for 2 o'clock is coming up.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
make love to me, honey.
What?
H-O-N-E-Y. The word is honey. Text honey, H-O-N-E-Y, to 72881. And you got a shot at $1,000. No salesman will call. No junk tweets will be coming your way. Just text honey to 72881. And within the hour, you may get a call. Answer the phone. Could be our big boss man with some $1,000 for you.
All right, guys, coming up, we've got some headlines. I also have to tell you guys, when I got here today at Murph's, my partner was hot, and he will explain why when we get back. It's Dukes and Bell.
Are you going to wait for a sign, your miracle? Stand up and fight. This is it.
Well, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. We've got a code word for you. for you to win. All right, we've got a pair of tickets to go see Game 5 coming up this hour, and we've got a pair coming up next hour. So if you don't have tickets and you're going, man, I wish I could go today, we got you covered here on Dukes and Bell. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we broadcast live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria as we see some familiar faces walking in, Mike.
Yeah, man, this is a dude, he wants to take us out hunting. I told him I'm not a really good guy to go hunting with, so I can't sit still or shut up, but he's willing to bring us out there, and once the season starts, get up in the tree stand. He'll regret that decision, but we always appreciate the connection we make with some of our loyal listeners. So come on down. We have one can of Hey Man Ale left, Carl. I don't want people to come down here and think there's one can on the bar. That's one for display, so we'll have to chill it out for you. We drank all the Hey Man yesterday and last week and now today.
It's true. That is an accurate fact. Hey Man, before we get into the headlines, and also coming up next hour, Dale Murphy, as we mentioned, we'll talk to Murph about today's series. Quick tidbit, the ESPN nerds put this out there, saying that this series, Braves and Cardinals, it's the second series in postseason history in which three of the first four games, Mike, were won by teams trailing in the eighth inning or later.
Right.
I don't expect it to be any different today. I think this thing's going to come down to a late inning, you know, whether it's a rally or a big hit.
Right.
Because
it's hard to see this one not being being anticlimactic, but yes, as you said, coming down to like a real dramatic finish.
Yeah, that's from Elias Sports Bureau, so they put that out there. So, again, if you're thinking about what today's going to be, it'd be great if we blew this thing out early and we're sitting back and we got a seven lead, you know, a seven-run lead.
Crank a cold beer, have a hot dog, enjoy yourself, and then get ready to pop the champagne. But being Atlanta, we know we're going to have to stress this one out. You're going to lose some hair. You're going to get gray if you do have hair, and you're going to be sweating it. But, I mean, this is why we love baseball. This is why we love sports, because you don't know the outcome. This is why, you know, we tune in. And for Braves fans, I mean, you feel like, you know, we're onto something special here. But look, as we said, whether it's Bobby Cox or a guy like Tony La Russa, sometimes the guy with all the team and all the talent doesn't always win. You know, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're better than St. Louis. I just think we have not been clutch. I think we've just seen Donaldson, and unfortunately, and to a lesser extent, Marquez, but certainly Freddie, that you saw this in September. September, unfortunately, was giving you a little bit of a trend, which now is a reality where these guys are just not hitting the ball.
No.
And they've got – and if look – Freddie doesn't have to go 3-for-4 today, but there's a guy on second or third. Can you knock him in? Can you get a guy a ball in the outfield? Can you go against the shift and get something going? That's what we need today.
All right. As I mentioned, we got here today. We're at Murph's. You guys are more than welcome to come through, stop by, hang out. Maybe you're going to the game. Come through, have a drink or whatever. But I walked in, and Mike was like, "Did you see what happened?" And I was like, "No, bro. What happened? I didn't see it." And he was like, "Oh, this is despicable."
I mean, we live in America, and we're not perfect, and as we all know, guys. And apparently, I found this out the other day as we were having a conversation about, but this is about the NBA in China. If you didn't see it, a couple of folks were saying free Hong Kong, and they got the boot. They got thrown out of the Wells Fargo Center during a Sixers game, an exhibition against a team from China. Now, as we learn more about this, apparently, I doubt these are real NBA fans, Carl. I think they were protesters. And if you were sitting behind a bunch of protesters screaming, you know, free Hong Kong and bringing signs, you basically, can you please shut up? Can I watch the game? So those people were removed, but it's still a black guy for the NBA because all around the country you saw the headline, people yelling free Hong Kong kicked out of an NBA game. And America, Americans who love freedom, and especially Americans who don't exactly love the NBA, Carl, flyover states, these are people who would say, I ain't going to watch that. So it's a black guy. It's a tough situation for them to be
in. Why you got to use that phrase?
And, well, Carl and I were having this conversation real quick. We all know, and if you don't know about it, Carl and I, we love history, we love politics, we stay in our lane because we know you guys turn to sports in a world where you don't want to hear about that nonsense.
Yes, but if you'd like to treat us to a free round of golf, we'd love to talk politics over 18 holes.
But Carl and I, we also love history. Our dads are big into history. We love history. So I had a conversation yesterday with one of our young coworkers, and I will not name his name, who did not even know that communist China was communist China. He didn't realize they don't have human rights violations. He didn't realize there's prison camps.
Wait, what do you mean he didn't know?
He did not know. He was not taught it in school. Now, I don't know how they're taught these days. Now, I'll get off my my soapbox.
No, keep going.
But when I was a kid, in junior high school, we had a semester or a quarter that was spent on European history, and then there was one that was spent on Africa or South America or Asia. And you used to have a different teacher. I don't know how you did it in your school. Mm-hmm. We'd have a different teacher who would cover all that. And I remember I had Mr. Heckendorn, who covered Asia and South America. That was his thing. So we all learned about China, learned about the Korean War, learned about what they do, learned about how there's no freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Matter of fact, those people don't even know about this NBA stuff because all their Twitter gets censored over there.
Yeah.
But apparently, people under the age of 30 had never learned this stuff. They think China is just like the USA because they got tall buildings and they drive Ferraris, when in reality, they're just North Korea with more people and nicer stuff.
It's a good point, Mike Bell. See what I'm talking about?
So that's why I got hot.
That's what I walked
because
into today.
So here's the thing, though. We are dependent in this country on cheap stuff. They build stuff cheap over there.
We're overly dependent.
Right, and that's why there's, for those, I gave you the history 101 of this on Twitter today. I said, basically, here's a history of China in 140 characters.
Oh, God. Good luck.
I nailed it. I think I nailed it. But in a nutshell, the NBA is no different than a Walmart or any other company in this country that depends on China. In this case, the NBA is looking to other markets. Why do we play NFL games in London? Because they're trying to sell more jerseys and get more fan interest over there and make the dollars. There's 1.4 billion potential fans in China, and that's why the NBA is there. So
when they've been there.
Right.
I mean, this relationship
and you talked
has
about it,
been ongoing.
Going back to Yao Ming and the big impact that he had culturally.
Early 2000s, this relationship really blossomed. But, you know, everything you're saying, brother, you know I agree with you on, and I had no idea. I was actually not in the room when that discussion was going on yesterday with the employee in our building.
And I literally was incredulous. My incredulity was palpable. So, look, as I said, you know, I think the problem in America today is kids get so much time being told how bad our country is, we don't learn about what's going on outside
elsewhere.
Of America.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. So, anyway, when it comes to China, yes, we do depend on them because they make stuff at near slave labor rates. And I wish that people like us, I mean, I don't know. I try to buy as American as I can. I know my Corvette parts were made in Canada, Mexico, and all over the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you can, I think if we could, as a country, wean ourselves off the Chinese products, it'd be great. But the NBA, at bottom line, bring it back to sports. Carl, the NBA.
Yeah, that was a political statement.
The NBA's in a pickle. Carl, the NBA's in a pickle. This is a PR nightmare for the NBA.
It is.
Adam Silver is trying to posture for Americans like he's being tough.
Well,
you realize the Chinese canceled a charity event?
Yeah. They're serious.
It was NBA Cares. That's a charity event for kids and sick kids.
They're serious.
And they canceled that in China today.
Well, it tells you where they stand. And, you know, I'd love the NBA to say, all right, well, we're done. But the reality is they're not going to do that.
They bully people.
They're
that's
not
the thing,
that.
And we've let them do it to us. So that's the end of your political lesson today. Remember, people, buy American. Back to you, Carl.
Yeah, and that's what I walked into today. He was hot. It's Dukes and Bell. Craig's back at the studio. Our engineer, Bo Morgan, on site producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start first with our Braves. Game 5.
What you going to do?
I need this lineup to be clutch today, and specifically the middle of the lineup. Brian Snitker talks about everybody's available for today's game.
I can't think to a man that anybody's going to not be ready to go and be available. I think it's definitely an all hands on deck, and you know, guys are going to be excited and anxious and ready to go.
Now, if you're new to baseball, what he's specifically talking about is pitching, because
right.
You got the extra day off. Of course, your everyday guys are going to be ready. Your bench guys are going to be ready. But in these back-to-back-to-back games, this is when you have to manage your bullpen. And with the day off yesterday for the Cardinals as well, it's all hands on deck. In a game 5, you might see Dallas Keuchel. You might say, you don't know who's going to be thrown out there
right.
Because the situation in the game, it changes. But that's what Snicker's talking about today. So whatever it's going
to
take, man.
So, again, guys, no changes to the lineup you've come to know and love. Acuna, Ozzie, Freddie, Donaldson, Markakis, and Adam Duvall, again, in for Joyce, who'd been starting in right with Markakis in left. So Markakis in right field, Adam Duvall in left. They're not going to move off of Brian McCann, who's been struggling too. Dansby, who's been red hot. And we said this earlier, Snicker didn't want to mess with Dansby, thought he was in a good spot despite how hot he is. And, of course, faulty ninth. Would you like to see Dansby moved up in the lineup?
He's playing well. I mean,
would you put Dansby third and just drop everybody down a notch?
No.
I mean, because then you start messing with the routine
you've been in,
which even though, you know, some of the sabermetrics people would say, look, if you've got a group of guys batting 145, something's got to change here.
And
that's the 3-4-5 spot.
It is. And that was the dilemma. I say it's a dilemma. Snicker won't admit that. He'll never say that. But right now, I guarantee you, him along with the other coaches on his staff have been talking about this. And the tweak, I think, today, Mike, is what you brought up earlier. It's Duvall. We're going to get another hot bat in the lineup, but I'm not changing my lineup per se. All right, man, let's hear from Dave Roberts, because the Nationals guys could do us a favor. Well, a little bit. They could beat the Dodgers tonight. They also are in a game 5. Here's what their manager had to say.
You know, we've just seen Strasburg recently, and obviously he had his way with us. So, you know, we're going to have to make adjustments. And I'm sure, you know, he's going to either do what he's been doing or make adjustments, and we got to kind of – I like the familiarity, the recent familiarity. You know, there's going to be 45,000 fans there. But, yeah, as a fan, as a player, you live for moments like this.
That, of course, is the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, talking about that. Either way, man, it's going to be fun to watch. We said this. I was rooting before the series started for the Nationals.
Right.
just because I think, Mike, we own the season series, we beat them for the division. I think we got a little bit of a confidence thing over them. We don't have that with the Dodgers.
Right. And last night, guys, we talked about, you know, managers maybe overthinking it sometimes. What did you think? We started the show talking about it. Justin Verlander going on short rest. He volunteered for it, but he didn't have a slider that was really effective. Pitches were up in the strike zone. And I've never – who knew there were 30,000 Rays fans in Tampa Bay?
Nobody.
But everybody was rocking last night, and they forced a game five.
Yeah, let's hear from last night, because if you missed it, Verlander, three innings. That's all the first three innings he gave.
First thing I noticed is the ball was up in a strike.
Oh, man. Seven hits, two home runs. He did throw 84 pitches, but that was the other thing. His pitch count was up already, and you're getting into the fourth inning. Here's a highlight from last night.
The 2-2 pitch. Launched toward the left. Back at it is Brantley. He looks up. It's 1-0 Rays. Tommy Pham homers here. Two batters in, and the Rays take a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first.
There's a lot of people I could thank, you know, but I'm proud of myself, to be honest with you. I remember throwing a ball against the wall, playing catch with myself, throwing a ball up, hitting it, throwing batting practice to myself. I believed in myself since from a young age. It ain't like I had a dad out there to play catch with me or throw me batting practice. So, you know, I'm proud of myself.
I've never heard that kind of hubris in my life.
You know what? It wasn't easy for me. I only played with myself. Excuse me?
Are you serious?
Please, sir, this is a family program.
I didn't have a dad to throw it to me, so I threw it to myself.
I mean, you know what? I mean, it's a hard scrabble upbringing. Now you know what? This is an American success story, Carl. How dare you? Where's your empathy for this man?
I played catch with myself.
It's like a Rodney Dangerfield thing. My father said, go play with yourself. No, in the case of the Rays, the dude is talking about his experience. And now, back in the day, because, you know, my dad was nice enough to buy us a pitch back, I could actually have a catch with myself. Remember those things? Remember a little net on a spring?
Yeah.
You can just throw them.
Here's the deal, though. Here's a little memo to him, okay? Give credit to your teammates. It is not about you in that moment.
No, but Carl.
Come on.
He was playing baseball with
himself.
You know
what? I wasn't even going to go here. Can I hear that soundbite again? Because it's so entertaining. I'm playing with myself.
There's a lot of people I could thank, you know, but I'm proud of myself, to be honest with you. I remember throwing a ball against the wall, playing catch with myself, throwing a ball up, hitting it, throwing batting practice to myself. It ain't like I had a dad out there to play catch with me or throw me batting practice. So, you know, I'm proud of myself.
It's not like I had a dad out there with me.
Well, I mean, again, I thought we were supposed to embrace the single moms and the kids who overcome this.
Oh, listen,
I can't believe you're being so truculent about this.
It's a great story. Stop patting yourself on the back, will you?
You know, I used to have to walk uphill to school and uphill back from school. Didn't have a dad to drive me.
Oh, man. All right, guys.
Look, anyway, that was the part of the game-winning Rays squad. So why don't they trust the other pitchers? I know Grinke got lit up the other night. Wade Miley. They've got other guys that were fresher, but for whatever reason, Garrett Cole's going to have to close it out. Verlander, is this an example where you overthought it? I mean, they want to get it over with and be rested for the Yankees,
well,
but now they got to play game five.
I think there's two trains of thought here. One, if you win, right, then obviously you get some time off and, you set Garrett Cole up for game one.
Right.
If you lose, Garrett Cole pitches in game five. By the way, Garrett Cole hasn't lost since May 22nd for the Astros. 23 starts, Mike.
Hey, we're going to talk some more Falcons guys later in the show with our Falcon Report. Looks like Christian Kirk could be game time. Right now, he's still getting some treatment. The wide receiver for the Cardinals has put up some big numbers. He may be a weapon for now. Again, we'll have to see about this for the Cardinals coming up. But it looks like they're getting healthier out there in Arizona.
All right, guys. Hawks in action tonight as well. Preseason action against the Magic at State Farm Arena. We'll come back. We got some college football news to get to.
It ain't like I had a dad out there to play catch with me or throw me batting practice. So, you know, I'm proud of myself.
You want to go to game five? We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Stay tuned. We're going to give a pair of tickets away between now and the top of the hour. All you need to do is be caller number 9 with the right code word. You know what the code word is because you've been listening all day to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Murph's, and we're going to talk to Dale Murphy coming up at around 3:20 today here getting ready for game five.
Hey, by the way, we had some fun. If you missed last break, we had the soundbite from Tommy Pham, one of the heroes for the Tampa Bay Rays last night.
It's about me.
And who again, Carl, I think in why you said he was going off and gave such a great in-depth explanation of his tough, hardscrabble upbringing as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first time he's had a locker room full of media. It's Tampa Bay, for crying out loud. This is the first time he's had anybody from somewhere outside of Tampa in that clubhouse. I think that espouse his, again, for some motivational story, you thought it was a little heavy-handed and you thought it was a little over the top.
I used to go out in the street and I'd throw the ball up 30 yards. I'd run underneath it. I'd catch it, throw it to myself and catch it myself. I mean, for me, it was all about me.
I mean, the only thing
I believed in myself from a young age. It ain't like I had a dad out there to play catch with me or throw me batting practice. So, I'm proud of myself.
Here's the deal. But we do know there's a lot of single moms who do a fantastic job. In an ideal world, like Carl and I, we're lucky enough to have a dad and a mom, and not everybody gets that.
Yes, and you know what? I'm proud of having two parents around. I know most of my friends, that's not the case.
Right. Look what a screw up I was. Can you imagine what a screw up I'd be if I didn't have my dad?
But I'll say this though, I get where he's coming from. But there's so many stories out there like this. There's so many guys who have overcome adverse situations to, whether it's coming out of the hood or you're from the heartland. It doesn't matter, whatever your situation is.
I mean, our own Josh Donaldson had a tough upbringing as a child. Yeah. The backstory there.
So but that is amusing how in his moment, and it was his moment, to basically tell everybody else that never really helped him to screw off.
Wherever dad is, if dad knows who he is, he's got to be feeling mighty low right now.
All right, man, I want to ask you this question. We're going to talk about the Dogs coming up at 4. We're going to get back into the Falcons. A lot of people wondering, what the hell am I talking about? How's Dan Quinn going to save his job?
If you missed this earlier, Carl says he's got a foolproof plan to fix the defense.
It is going.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's going down at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're here. Mike, who realistically has a chance at winning a national championship? I mean, legitimate chance of getting to the college football playoff, all right? And you look at the rankings, we're not to November yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the college football committee come out in a couple of weeks. Obviously, you look at Alabama, and we got some huge matchups we'll talk more about. Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia. But when you look at it, and I'm just saying the top 25, I only see about 12 teams that really have a legitimate shot.
I would say I wouldn't even give you 12. I'll go 10. I think you look at in the Big Ten, you look at Ohio State. Michigan's fake. That's fake news. That's not happening. It's Ohio State and Wisconsin if they can develop any kind of passing game to go along with that run game, because they got a chance. Again, if you're in your championship game, you got a shot, right, especially if you're undefeated.
Yeah.
In the Big 12, it's Oklahoma. No disrespect to Texas. Texas has to win. They got no margin for error against
Oklahoma. And if they win, that shifts.
Right. Then Texas is in the mix.
That's right.
In the SEC, it's four teams. Actually, it's five. Because and Auburn can still find a way to win and get their stuff straightened out. Florida threw some defensive looks at them that Bo Nix hadn't seen, the way they use their safeties and their DBs. So certainly that's something that Joe Burrow is going to have to adjust and try to make some plays. So I think Burrow is going to be better equipped with those receivers. But LSU, Alabama, I'll keep Auburn alive, Georgia, Florida. So, that's almost – and Notre Dame, because they're Notre Dame. And because they didn't lose and get smoked by Georgia, that's some sort of gold star for Notre Dame as they continue to roll.
Yeah, and if they go unbeaten the rest of the way. The thing about Auburn, you're right, they're still alive.
Oh, and Clemson, of course, goes without saying.
Yes.
Clemson's got Florida State. Florida State all of a sudden feeling better about themselves, 3-2. They beat NC State. I don't know if they can do it with Hornibrook and Death Valley, but, I'll give Florida State a chance to keep it close. But I think Clemson now realizes they've got to put some style points on their resume.
Auburn still has LSU. They got to go to LSU. They still have the Dogs, obviously, Alabama, the Iron Bowl. That schedule is just tough to maneuver. But if they are able to finish with one loss, you're right. Auburn is in the SEC championship game, and if they win it, obviously they're going to the college football playoff. So even though they go on the road and lose to Florida, and it looked bad because they made so many mistakes,
right,
they are still alive. The thing we're getting to is, as you start to break down and look at, what these rankings are going to look like with the college football playoff committee, because that's the one that matters. Right now, as I've said, this is kind of an outline to what it's going to look like. But even this weekend, these rankings are going to change.
Well, you look at Alabama, you don't see them going anywhere. Clemson, I think most people just assume they've had their...
You don't think Texas A&M shocks Alabama? Okay.
No, I see Texas A&M's future, a trip to the Alamo Bowl. And then you get back to Ohio State. We talked about the Big Ten. Justin Fields, he looks better than Haskins.
He does.
You know what I mean? He's the ultimate weapon. He's the ultimate weapon. Then you got Georgia and LSU. So, the SEC is going to cannibalize itself, certainly. But right now, Oklahoma, they're going to be in that mix. There's no way. I just don't see them losing. I know that you feel that Jalen Hurts is going to have his comeuppance against Texas. But, man, the guy's been so clutch.
No, he's been money. It's going to be a shootout, literally. Red River rivalry, shootout, however you want to phrase it. It goes by all those different names. This is going to be a 46-40 kind of game. Ellinger is going to play great for the Longhorns, but they're going to have to outplay Oklahoma's offense, and it's going to come down to that. And if they're able to do that, the unfortunate thing for Texas is this round robin, Mike, you beat them, you move up in the rankings, but then you have to play them at the end of the season.
But the thing also for Georgia is because of how good all those teams in the West are, LSU is looking really good. Georgia can't afford – remember 2 years ago, last year? Well, our best two losses – no, you can't have two losses. No way. One, that's all you're going to get. You've got to be in the SEC championship.
All right, man, 404-741-0929. We were talking about that amongst ourselves. I wanted to bring that to you guys because I know a lot of people are like, well, they've got a chance. Not really.
There's eight teams.
Not really.
You really get down to brass tacks, there's eight teams.
You can chime in on our Salomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hey, we want to give one lucky listener that listens to Dukes and Bell and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tickets to go see Game 5 right now. All right? All you need is the code word. And if you've been listening all day, you know what the code word is. We're taking caller number 9 at 404-741-0929. Now, Craig, back at the studio, we'll pick up. Caller number 9, if you have the correct code word, you're going to see Game 5, and we will send those tickets to you. Digital.
Yeah, we're going to text it right to your phone, man. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to come back to the office and pick them up like the old days. So if you've been listening, we've been playing the code word in commercial breaks, you know, during the shows. So you know it. What's the call you want? What number?
Number 9.
Number 9 at 404-741-0929. Good luck.
We will give another pair away coming up next hour. Dukes and Bell brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Mike Bell made a big deal out of it yesterday, and he was right. Richard Sherman was lying. We'll talk more about it coming up in our NFL Blitz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.